Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're really digging into what seems like a definitive guide for audience growth. We're talking music artists, content creators.
Yeah, and we've boiled down the source material into 5 core daily habits. The key things. They don't cost money. They're, well, non-negotiable if you want results.
Right. And they're presented as the blueprint for growing your audience, your Spotify streams, all that.
Exactly. And our mission today, really, is to cut through some of the noise. You know, what artists think they should be doing versus what this roadmap says actually works.
But it was all about routine.
Totally. Routine, looking at cold, hard data, and just intentional repetition. It sort of pushes aside that idea of needing spontaneous originality, at least at first.
And that's a hook, isn't it? Because it sounds, well, almost wrong to a creative person.
It does.
The source material is pretty blunt. At the start, your job isn't really to be original on social media.
Right. You save the big artistic swings for the music itself, for your brand identity. Social media, that's presented more as like a distribution channel you need to get good at using.
Optimize it.
It's all about building momentum first. Because, I mean, if nobody's seeing your stuff consistently,
then the genius doesn't matter yet.
Pretty much. No one's there to see it, so it's foundational.
Okay, let's get into the first daily habit. And this one, I think, might be the toughest pill to swallow for many. It's research and calculated copying.
Yeah, and it starts small. Just 10 minutes a day. That's the suggestion.
And they literally say you can do this whenever, on a break.
Or, yeah, the source even cheekily suggests, you know, on the toilet, anywhere you have 10 minutes.
Okay. But the goal is hyper-focused research.
Exactly. Find content that's working. Stuff you can see is getting traction. And then you save it to copy.
Okay, I have to jump in here. Copying. For an artist, I mean, that word alone feels wrong, demoralizing maybe. We're told not to do that.
I get it. And it's framed as a strategic choice, not really an artistic one for the social side. The genius here, as the source puts it, is in the micro details you analyze.
So not just watching a viral video.
No. You're breaking it down. What are they wearing? The shot framing, lighting, where are they? What's the actual concept, the props, the actions, and crucially, the hook?
The first few seconds.
Yeah. You basically create a checklist from successful stuff and try to replicate those elements really closely.
So it's less about being a visionary creator on TikTok initially anyway, and more like being a master technician of grabbing attention.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
The golden rule here is momentum over originality, but only at the very start on the feet.
Okay.
Think of it like going to the gym, right?
Right.
You don't walk in and invent a new exercise every single day.
No, you learn the squat, the deadlift.
Exactly. The effective stuff. You copy the form of people who know what they're doing until you build up your own strength. Once you're strong, then you can get creative, personalize it, try variations.
But you need the foundation first. You have to be good and kind of predictable in your effectiveness.
Predictable in effectiveness, yes.
Yeah.
So the fastest way to earn the freedom to be original later
is by temporarily being disciplined about copying what works now.
That's the argument. Make momentum the primary goal early on. Figure out what styles work, what hooks land, test them yourself, and copy that winning blueprint until the algorithm kind of picks up on it and helps you out.
Okay, that makes sense as a strategy. So if copying tells us what to potentially do, habit 2 is about figuring out if it's actually working, right? Analyzing your data properly.
Yes, and this is where we get into what they call the cheat code. It's about digging deeper than the surface stuff.
So what not to focus on first?
Forget the basic demographics initially, like male, female, age ranges. That stuff matters later, maybe, but the real gold is in retention.
Retention. So how long people actually stick around and watch.
Exactly. Down to the second, or even millisecond, if the platform shows it. When do users swipe away? You have to be like absolutely brutal about looking at this.
Brutal.
Yeah. Find the pit, they call it. The exact moment people leave. Was it something you said? Something you did? Was the quality just bad right there? Did the music drop out? You need that level of scrutiny.
Wow. Okay. That means looking at your own creation and saying, okay, that joke bombed at 4.2 seconds. That takes. Checking your ego at the door.
Totally. It's tough. But the idea is you refine and refine until you're consistently making, quote, the perfect piece of content for your audience. And you do that over, say, the next 3 to 6 months.
And that builds unstoppable momentum.
That's the goal. And ignoring this data, that's presented as the biggest mistake if you just rely on luck or just churning out volume.
Hang on, how does volume make it worse if the content isn't resonating? I thought more shots on goal was good.
Well, it compounds the problem because the algorithm is always learning, right?
Yeah.
So if it shows your, let's say, subpar video to 100 people and they all bounce immediately, it learns, okay, this content isn't good. But it also learns these 100 people don't like this style from this creator.
Ah, so it flags them as a bad match for you in the future.
Potentially, yes. It makes it less likely to show them or people like them your next video, even if that next one is amazing. You're kind of feeding the machine the wrong signals.
You're essentially training the algorithm to ignore your best potential audience by feeding it bad data. Whoa!
Yeah, you're kind of poisoning your own,
well,
in a way.
Yeah.
That's why the data is the treasure map. Don't guess. Spend, you know, 10, 20, maybe 30 minutes a day in your analytics.
Doing what specifically?
Figuring out, okay, how do I get my average view duration from 3 seconds to 4 seconds? Or how do I bump my save rate from 7% to 10%?
And the save rate, just for anyone listening, that's when people bookmark it.
Exactly. They hit save to watch later or keep it. That's a huge signal of high intent. It means it really connected. You need to know what makes people do that.
So the data doesn't just leave clues?
It gives you the answers. You just have to look.
Okay, that deep analysis flows perfectly into habit three then, the NST rule. Never stop testing. This is what you do after that brutal analysis.
Right. Once you've looked at where people dropped off or what kind of stuff they saved, now you test variations. Tiny little micro variations of everything.
Find the win.
To find the win, yeah. Dig up that treasure. Test different content styles, what you wear, where you film, talking versus not talking, sitting versus moving.
And for musicians, this point about strategic audio testing seems really key.
Well, absolutely. The sources suggest a lot of artists just grab the default 15-second clip the platform suggests for their song.
And just use that over and over.
Yeah, maybe 100 times. Assuming that must be the best part. But that's often a mistake.
So what should they do?
Test different sections. Test the intro, test the chorus, obviously. But maybe test verse one. Or, like, find that one killer line halfway through verse two that just hits differently.
You're basically turning your own song into a series of little testable hooks.
You got it. You're optimizing for watch time, even down to tiny timing details. Like, how long do you wait before the vocals start in the video? Maybe waiting 3 to 4 seconds builds anticipation.
Or maybe it makes people swipe. You have to test it.
You have to test it. Test the hook format. Mm-hmm. Are you talking first? Silent. Moving.
Yeah.
Sitting still, it all creates data.
And that new data from testing feeds right back into habit too, analysis.
Exactly. It's a loop. Analyze, test, get new data, analyze that data, test something slightly different. It's iterative.
It's the engine. Analyze, test, learn, repeat. That's the engine for growth.
That's the consistent iterative engine, yes.
Okay, so we've covered the analytical side, the testing. Now let's shift gears a bit to habit four. This one is described as another cheat code, a really powerful one, go live.
Yeah, specifically on platforms like TikTok that really reward live interaction. This is framed as, well, almost a magic bullet if you can do it.
Especially for artists who can perform.
Definitely. If you can sing or play and you can talk to people, engage an audience.
Yeah.
The benefits are apparently huge. We're talking reports of artists getting paid like $5,000 to $10,000 a month directly from the platform.
Wow.
And gaining thousands of new followers, sometimes per day or even per live session.
Those numbers are game-changing. But the commitment level sounds intense. The source says, what, 2, 3, even 4 hours? Every single night.
Yeah, if you can sing and talk to people, that's the recommended level of commitment, especially early on.
Can an independent artist realistically do that while still writing, recording, doing the other four habits? It sounds exhausting.
It does. And that's where the mindset shift comes in again. You have to stop seeing it as just another performance chore.
And see it
as directly compensated audience building. The analogy used is the magic drawer.
Okay.
Live streaming is like a magic drawer. You open it. And money and followers come out.
So how often are you going to open that drawer?
You open it constantly.
And you.
Until it's empty.
Right.
If you're literally being paid cash and getting followers while you build your audience.
And it's not a chore. It's the most direct way to get paid for your efforts.
Exactly. The only limit is your voice, your stamina, maybe your neighbors complaining. You're trading your time directly for money and attention. And early on, time is often what you have most of.
That completely reframes it. Direct payment for audience development. It really underscores that idea of consistency over waiting for inspiration.
It really does. Consistency beats inspiration every single time, according to this model.
Okay, that brings us to the final piece, habit number five. And this one's all about mindset. Stop thinking about fans. Start thinking about listeners.
Yeah, this tackles that little bit of maybe internal arrogance that can slip in when you start getting some traction.
Yeah.
The source argues you can't think you have fans right at the beginning.
Why not? What's the distinction?
A fan, as described here, is someone with like a mild obsession. And because of that implied status difference, you naturally tend to keep them at arm's length a bit.
Right, there's a distance, and that distance hurts genuine connection.
Exactly. It hinders communication. The focus instead should be on building listeners, people who just genuinely like your music.
And how should you treat listeners?
Like you treat a friend. With respect, with friendliness. You communicate more openly, you show appreciation, you interact more genuinely.
Because if you see them as fans, the communication becomes maybe more guarded, more professional.
Yeah, maybe. But if you see them as potential friends who happen to like your music, it becomes more conversational, more authentic, maybe even a bit vulnerable. And that's what builds loyalty.
It's about quality over just sheer numbers.
Totally. Forget chasing millions of impressions that don't stick. Focus on the people who actually care. Even just 100 genuine listeners, people who really connect with your stuff, they're the ones who will trigger the right kind of data signals on Instagram, on Spotify.
And you mentioned Spotify specifically. How do you measure that?
You dive into your Spotify for Artists analytics, look for the metric showing how many people are listening multiple times. Are they listening twice, three times, four times per listener? That number is gold.
So the strategy isn't just total streams.
No, it's growing that specific metric, growing the number of people who listen repeatedly. You're building those quality listeners, slowly turning them into actual fans over time, cultivating devotion, not just chasing fleeting attention.
Okay, let's pull it all together. The five habits. Research and copy what works. Analyze your data brutally. Never stop testing variations. Go live consistently and shift your mindset from fans to listeners.
That's the package. And the core idea tying it all together is that most artists are just guessing, hoping for virality.
Instead of being methodical.
Right. This roadmap argues the guaranteed path is consistency and intention. Following this structure, even just 10 minutes a day on the analysis and research parts, plus the commitment to live, it guarantees growth. Audience growth, Spotify improvement.
Because consistency beats talent.
Data beats opinions.
And you just follow the treasure map your own metrics provide.
Exactly. The artist who shows up every day follows the plan with purpose. They'll always outpace the one waiting for the muse to strike before they post something.
This is the structure. Follow it with clarity, with purpose, and get ready for the work involved.
And that actually brings us to a really interesting final thought for you, the listener, to maybe mull over. This whole strategy depends on treating social media almost like a cold, data-driven lab.
Separate from the art itself.
Completely separate, at least in terms of how you use the platform initially. So the question is, what assumptions about your own artistic integrity, like needing to be 100% original from day one? What might you need to let go of, even temporarily, to embrace this kind of copying and data brutality that the path suggests is required for guaranteed success?
It's a fascinating trade-off, isn't it? Short-term, maybe uncomfortable discipline for potentially huge long-term creative freedom and reach. Something to think about. Go apply this structure, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.